Thank you, Dominic. Good morning. So today I'm going to be focusing on insect damage and how we can compensate from various injury throughout the season. And so we know that compensation is the plant's ability to recover from some degree of damage or fruit loss. And in some situations, we may end up with delayed maturity or yield losses. And hopefully, with some compensation, we may be able to avoid both of those situations. But what is compensation going to be dependent upon? And so the first thing is going to be damage. And what is the timing of that damage? So are we looking at earlier in the season versus later in the season and the amount of window that we have to potentially compensate from that injury? The other thing is going to be the severity. So obviously more minor injury is going to be a little bit easier to overcome than something that's going to be more severe. And then what is the location of that damage? So are we looking at vegetative injury versus injury to reproductive structures? And the other thing that's going to impact our ability to compensate, obviously, is going to be those environmental conditions. So what potentially is impacting the system outside of that insect damage, whether it's nutrient deficiency or disease or other problems we may be dealing with in the system. And also be mindful of when cotton was planted. So late planted cotton versus earlier planted cotton and our ability to compensate simply based on planting date. And then hopefully we'll have an optimal fall to be able to overcome some of that injury later in the season. So again, there's all of these things to think about, and we can't necessarily predict if we're going to have compensation, but we do know that the plant does have ability to overcome some of this injury. And at times it's important to be mindful of those things, because whether we're dealing with adverse conditions that may delay an insecticide application and things aren't as timely, that sometimes there is a little bit of forgiveness. So we know that as we progress throughout the season, our window of concern is going to increase. So once we start early in the season, our concern is going to be very minor. And then once we start putting on those squares and moving into our first flower, you can see that we become more concerned, especially once we start getting later into the season. And then again, once we hit about that cutoff stage, our level of concern starts to decrease. And so looking at this curve, what pests might we encounter within this curve here? And so we know early in the season, we're going to deal with thrips, and that's going to be one of the first things that we encounter. And so we know, being so early in the season, that we're going to have more time to compensate from that injury than we are once we start getting later into plant bugs and bollworms, which are going to be mid to late season pests. So these are things to be mindful of when we think about this damage and when it's occurring and at what stage of the crop those pests we're encountering. So everybody's familiar, and I'm going to kind of switch gears for a second, and I want to talk about the agronomy just for a minute, about some of the boll distributions and what we're focusing on when we talk about insect damage. And so everybody's familiar with the money tree, and within this research we know historically, based off of the varieties that they evaluated, that the first position contributes 66% to 75% to the overall amount of yield, and then that second position is contributing 18% to 21%. So utilizing some plant mapping data, and I'll refer back to this later in my presentation, but I'd like to thank Darren Dodds and his crew, because he allowed me to use this data, and this is where this information came from. But if you can see on your left, I believe you're right, these two, you can see we have some older varieties, and I'm comparing them to some of the newer commercially available options. And I want you to know, when we look at the distribution of bolls based off of nodes, you can see that the majority of those nodes historically were between 5 and 12. And then if you look at that Delta Pine 1851, we're seeing anywhere from 9 to 13. So there's been some shift in essentially the architecture of these plants and where we're seeing these bolls. Now, when you look at the percentage of bolls based off of position, the primary amount of yield is still going to be coming from that first and second position. But if you look at that second position, there's been a slight shift. So if you can see here, we're going from about 20, which was the upper range of what Johnny Jenkins and Jack McCarty produced. But you can see in these other ones, we're seeing about 25% to 31% in those second position bolls. So it's just something to be mindful of when you think about where our yield is coming from. And then when we talk about insect damage, what is our main focus when we're trying to protect a portion of the plant from insects? So now I'm going to talk, give you a couple of examples of some pest management issues and how we've potentially, or how we've compensated and we've seen no yield losses associated with levels of insect damage. And so talking about tobacco thrips, looking at various seed treatments, and in this particular study we were evaluating Gaucho Cruiser, Evicta, Aris, and then Orthene. And so you can see that yellow line is right at 3, and 3 is what we deem unacceptable and is at the point of which we begin to see yield losses when we talk about damage from thrips. And you can see that both the Cruiser and Gaucho are well above that 3 mark, but you can see the Evicta and Aris in this particular study are not that far behind, with about 2.5 to 3 on that scale. And so you can see our best treatment there is the Orthene, and we're about at a 1.5 on our thrips damage scale. But how does that correspond to yield? And so you can see in this particular study that there were no differences in yield. And again, going back to being very early, we did see a fair amount of injury in this particular study, but we had enough time to compensate, and there was enough, the environmental conditions were favorable that there are no differences, even though we were seeing a fair amount of injury in this particular study. So then moving into plant bugs. And so this is a master's student at Mississippi State, Chase Samples, conducted this study evaluating simulated fruit removal in addition to looking at various PGR applications. And I'm not going to focus on that. I'm only going to focus on the fruit removal portion of that study. But you can see they went in and they removed 0, 50, and 100% of those fruiting structures, and you can see A, B, and C. And so on that 50%, they removed fruit in an alternating pattern. And so when they did this, how did that potentially delay maturity? Because that is something we need to be mindful about. Especially when we have delayed maturity, we potentially are putting ourselves in a window of in adverse environmental conditions, which potentially could impact additional input costs later in the season that we didn't necessarily expect had we not delayed that maturity. So you can see in this study when they evaluated the node above cracked bowl, that 0% fruit removal had a node above cracked bowl of 5, and then that was followed by the 50%, which had 6, and then the 100% fruit removal had 7 nodes above cracked bowl. So you can see from here that there was some delay in maturity as we progress from our fruit removal structures, but how does that correspond to yield, and what is our overall compensation? And so here you can see that there was no differences in yield between the 0 and 50%, so that 50% fruit removal compensated to the same level as the 0. While there was a significant difference in that 100% fruit removal, and there was about 129 pound yield loss compared to the other two, I would still say that there's been a fair amount of compensation in that particular treatment, even though it was statistically different from the 0 or the 50%. So I'm going to switch gears for a second, and I'm going to kind of move into bollworm, but for the sake of time, I didn't include any specific examples, but there is research that supports compensation from bollworm injury. So there's been studies conducted, and Dr. Jeff Gore's done some of this, where they looked at various bowl damage in that critical flowering window from weeks 1 to 4, and there is ability to compensate from a lot of that injury. Oftentimes, I think you begin to see, especially in those later weeks in that higher amount of injury, that there could be potential for yield losses. But again, like I've mentioned multiple times before, environmental conditions and other stresses are definitely going to impact our ability to compensate from injury. So I said earlier in the presentation that I was going to go back to some plant mapping data. And so we took that 1851 that I mentioned in the beginning of my presentation, and we kind of broke it out into zones. And so I'm going to talk about zones based off of where it's located within the plant in addition to the actual positions. And our goal with this was we wanted to simulate what the amount of injury that you would need to equate to essentially a Prevathon application. So in this case, the numbers that I'm going to mention in just a minute are going to be based off of 40 pounds of damage. So we use 63-cent cotton to get about a $25 application cost, which would be equivalent to 40 pounds per acre of yield loss. And so what we did was, and in this particular part, we partitioned the plant out in top, so the top five nodes, the middle five nodes, and then the bottom five nodes. And as we know, depending on where we are in the plant as well as position, we know that the boll weight is going to vary. So we took the average boll weight within those sections to calculate the amount of damage we would need to get that 40%. So you can see that, so each of these three lines collectively add up to be the total amount of yield per acre. And so you can see, looking at that top line, the middle portion of the plant is contributing the most to the overall amount of yield. So it's contributing 48% to the amount of yield. So if I were going to go in and do a structured count just to determine damage to get to that 40 pounds, I would essentially have to damage, I would have to have 6.9 damaged bolls within a 10, every 10 feet per acre to equate to 40 pounds. Well, as you move throughout the plant, you can see that the bottom, which is that middle line, contributes 32% to the overall amount of yield, and we would need 7.8 bolls every 10 feet of for damage purposes to equate to that 40 pounds. And then obviously we know that that top portion is going to contribute the least in yield, only contributing that 20%. And it's going to, you're going to have higher damage rates, needing 8.6 bolls. Again, that's based off of boll weight and when we're where we are in the plant. We know that damage is not necessarily going to be specific to one of these areas, but the point in this slide is just to show you that it's important, one, to do a structured count, and two, that there is going to be some variability in where we're where we have damage, and that the plant can tolerate, we can tolerate some damage and it not necessarily be economical and warrant an insecticide application. So then I told you I was also going to talk about position, and so we partitioned it out based off of first position, second position, and then third position. And so what does that look like? So we know that those first positions are contributing, first and second are going to contribute the most to yield. So those first positions contribute 65% to yield, that second position is contributing 29%, and then that third position is only contributing 6%. So if you look at the boll damage required in either the first or second position, we're ranging from about 6.9 to 7.8 bolls of damage every 10 feet. And the reason I did not note the third position bolls in this case is because you would essentially have to damage 50% of those third position bolls in the acre to ever equate to that 40 pounds. So really with this, we wanted to reiterate the importance of a structured count, and that sometimes it's so easy to focus on damage and see damage when you walk into the field and you think there's a lot more there than potentially is, that it's really important to make that structured count and realize that we can have some damage and it not necessarily be economical. And we just need to remember to be smart about our decisions and know that we're making sound, you know, sound decisions that warrant these insecticide applications. And it's also important to have realistic expectations. And so with that, I may or may not have time for any questions. Yes, sir. So it was right at first flower when they did that.
Thank